Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now live coverage of the news conference to unveil Governor Christie's Bridgegate Report. This is the report by his hand-picked legal team, funded by the taxpayers of New Jersey, by the way, headed by former Giuliani Deputy Mayor Randy Mastro. It's taking place in his office in Manhattan. The report was released to journalists an hour ago for embargo until, I guess, this hour, 11:30, when the news conference is supposed to start. Our New Jersey Public Radio managing editor, Nancy Solomon, is with me here in the studio. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Brian.
What's the headline?
The headline is that Governor Chris Christie knew nothing of the lane closures, that this was really contained to Bridget Ann Kelly, his deputy chief of staff, Bill Stepien, the campaign director, longtime campaign director and political strategist for Governor Christie, and David Wildstein at the Port Authority. They basically paint the picture of the three of them being involved and that it was really Bridget Ann Kelly and David Wildstein, and it went no further.
So we were asking earlier in the program, is this report a genuine investigation, or is it a Christie legal team defense funded by the taxpayers? Do you have an answer to that question yet?
I think we're still, you know, this was a lot to look at in an hour. And to
how many
get
pages
it,
is it?
300. But there are some glaring, you know, there are some things that are glaringly missing. They don't really address why Bridget Ann Kelly would want to do this without any direction from other staff people at the governor's office. They don't address, you know, they address that this was a political retribution, but only political retribution from an idea from one or two people. And they don't really, and David Sampson, the chair of the Port Authority and a very close associate of Governor Christie, is just really glossed over. There really is no attempt to address why there's an email saying that he's retaliating after Pat Foy, the head of the Port Authority, opens up the lanes.
This is one of the big unanswered questions that I guess they either couldn't or chose not to get to the bottom of. David Sampson, the well-connected lawyer who is Christie's top guy at the Port Authority, he's the only one who still has his job of those various people who were apparently involved in this email chain. And so we were asking this morning, what did Wildstein mean, the lower down guy at the Port Authority who got fired, in one of his emails during the lane closures that Sampson is helping us to retaliate? As far as you can tell so far, the report does not address that at all?
No. It quotes that email on page 72 or something about that. And it mentions the chronology and the chain of events earlier in the report and doesn't even mention that email in the back and forth. So there really are, I mean, those are some big holes. And to mention the email but to not grapple with what it means, whereas other emails are put into context, they're explained. Oh, well, Governor Christie wouldn't have understood what was being said to him when it was mentioned that there was lane closures at the George Washington Bridge because he really wasn't concerned with why that would interest him, you know, early on in the process. So, yes, it was mentioned to him, but he didn't have any context to understand the importance of it. So they go into great detail explaining his state of mind. But yet these, you know, these things like David Sampson retaliating are missing from the analysis.
Does the report answer the question of what Christie knew? And when he knew it, did he know at any point during the 4 days that the lane closures were going on that there were lane closures going on?
I don't have that level of detail. I will say that the overriding introduction and conclusion state very declaratively that Governor Christie was not involved and did not know this and did not direct it.
What are we going to hear at this news conference? Who are we going to hear at this news conference? And I'm told that our Andrew Bernstein and Matt Katz are sitting in the front row of the reporter section. Are reporters going to get to ask open-ended legitimate questions?
I think the reporters will ask questions, and I think that Randy Mastro is known as a master, elocutor, and that he will speak very well, and that he is, I think it really will be interesting to see what he wants to answer and how he answers them. I don't think there'll be any kind of constraint on what questions get asked. I think he is a litigator, and I think he will make his case very strongly because that's his skill. We are continuing to look at today and the report and what Randy Mastro has to say in the context of, is this an investigation or is this a defense of Governor Christie? And I think, we are seeing from a very first read of this report that there are a lot of questions that aren't answered.
Now, tell us again, who is Randy Mastro in the context of Bridgegate? He's probably best known in the New York area for having been a deputy mayor, one of the policymakers and enforcers, given his role as a litigator in the Giuliani administration in the city. What is he to Bridgegate?
So he was hired to what Governor Christie said was to get to the bottom of this. The state is paying him $650 an hour. This report is reputed to have cost about $1 million. He's got a team of five other litigators and lawyers working with him. I think we've done a lot of reporting about Randy Mastro, and I think it's what's very interesting about him is that he. He's the guy you want on your side when you're in trouble. He is the head of the crisis management team at his law firm. So, and crisis management, I think, is often understood as coming in and, not necessarily free and open flow of information and getting to the bottom of things, but obscuring and protecting your client. So I think these are, on the other hand, he did some renowned work investigating the mafia and litigating mafia cases. So he's got a very, very good reputation as a very smart, very good lawyer. And the only question that is out there is whether he's all about defending Chris Christie or is he really trying to get to the bottom of it?
This is one of several investigations, obviously, that are taking place. So put what we're about to hear and what you've been reading and our colleagues are reading in this 300-page report in the context of what other reports we're going to have shortly.
I'm sorry, I don't quite understand your question.
What other reports are coming down the pike that this is going to be compared to?
Oh, I'm sorry, the other investigation. So what we have is the original look into this came from Democrats in the legislature who began investigating this back in the fall and have been holding hearings, subpoenaed documents. All of the information that we've gotten so far pretty much has come through the subpoenas of Assemblyman Wisniewski and the Democrats in the legislature. So they were able to subpoena documents and take testimony about the reason behind the lane closures. So that investigation is still going on, and we expect to see more documents from that committee. There is also a U.S. Attorney federal investigation. The U.S. Attorney's Office, Paul Fishman in Newark, is investigating both the lane closures, and there's a whole other side to the story, the Hoboken Sandy aid, and whether the mayor was threatened that she wouldn't get her aid.
We're going to go live now to the news conference. Here we go.
My colleagues. Five federal prosecutors.
This investigation
happened to Governor's office.
This is a team of professional former federal prosecutors, 50 years of government experience.
Many internal investigations.
As part of our backgrounds.
10 weeks ago, we set about to do this investigation. We've since conducted over 70 interviews. We've reviewed more than 250,000 documents. And at the same time, we have facilitated cooperation with other ongoing investigations. And I'm here today to tell you our bottom line findings, and then to answer your questions. We probably won't be able to get to everything today. You'll probably have many more questions as you read our 345-page report, which we consider to have been based on a thorough and exhaustive review. I'll be happy to take questions as you go through that report later and to get you the information that you request. But for today's purposes, let me come to the bottom line findings. First, in connection with allegations related to the George Washington Bridge realignment, we found that Governor Christie had no knowledge beforehand of this George Washington Bridge realignment idea, and that he played no role whatsoever in that decision or the implementation of it. We further found no evidence that anyone in the governor's office besides Bridget Kelly knew of this idea in advance, played any role in the decision or the implementation of it. What we did find was that after the decision to implement the lane realignment, while it was going on and in its aftermath, the members of the governor's office, some of them, became aware of the lane realignment, inquired of Port Authority representatives, and were told this was a legitimate traffic study and that it was an operational issue for the Port Authority to deal with. We further found that as the controversy grew by early December, as there were rumors about potential of others' involvement, appropriate steps were taken to try to determine if anyone else in the governor's office, anyone in the governor's office, was involved in the lane realignment decision. And that when those appropriate inquiries were made, Bridget Kelly lied to her colleagues and even reached out to a subordinate and asked them to destroy a potentially incriminating document. And we further found that it was not until January the 8th, 2014, when documents that had been subpoenaed were first revealed, that they showed that David Wildstein and Bridget Kelly had participated in this act, this decision, and the implementation of it to realign the George Washington Bridge lanes at Fort Lee. And we further found, based on our investigation, that David Wildstein is the person who originated this idea and orchestrated it, that David Wildstein went to Bridget Kelly for approval in the governor's office, and that they had an ulterior motive for implementing that decision to in some way target Mayor Sokolich in Fort Lee. We're not able to answer every question today. We're not able to answer what that ulterior motive was, but we can say that the evidence does not establish that that ulterior motive was to target Mayor Sokolich because he did not endorse Governor Christie for re-election. In fact, there's substantial contrary evidence. In fact, the evidence shows that both the governor's office and the Christie campaign knew as early as March 2013 that Mayor Sokolich would not be endorsing the governor for re-election. Yet, by his own account, he continued to have good relations with the Christie administration, and indeed was on a list of mayors being considered for honorary appointments by the governor as recently as May 2013. We further find that when the governor became aware that Bridget Kelly in his office had been involved in the decision to close these lanes, he took appropriate action He fired Bridget Kelly, and then he commissioned this investigation and made a public commitment early on, before our investigation had progressed beyond its initial stages, that he was going to release our findings to the public before he could have known what they would be and what our recommendations would be. And he directed us on the day we were retained, which was the first time I ever met Governor Christie, to find out what the facts are, whatever they may be, to report them back to the governor's office, and to make recommendations as we saw fit to address the problems so that something like this never happens again. And that is what we have done in our 345-page report. Now, as to the second issue that we were asked to investigate, involving Hoboken's Sandy Aid, we find that Mayor Zimmer's allegations that members of the Christie administration delivered a message from the governor to her threatening Hoboken's Sandy Aid unless she supported a private development project are not only unsubstantiated, they are demonstrably false in material respects. Mayor Zimmer's subjective perceptions do not match the objective reality reflected in the hard evidence that we uncovered during our investigation. In fact, they are contradicted by contemporaneous documents, witness accounts, and her own prior statements. So no remedial actions are required in regard to those allegations. Finally, I wanted to briefly summarize some of the recommendations that we have made to the governor. Because while the actions of the few, there was a violation, a breach of the public trust that we take very seriously, and we take our mandate very seriously to make recommendations to the governor that something, and his office, that something like this never happen again. So among the recommendations that we have made to the governor's office are that IGA, that's the Intergovernmental Affairs Office that was run by Bridget Kelly in 2013, that office be disbanded and that the governor's office be reorganized and its functions be combined with those of the governor's Office of Constituent Relations into an Office of Legislative and Constituent Services to get back to the original mission of that office, which was to provide constituent services, to provide services to local elected officials in a nonpartisan way, open to all. The way that office functioned during the first 3+ years of Governor Christie's administration, until the aberrational behavior directed by Bridget Kelly in 2013. And the mission of that office should be made crystal clear: to be a service function for all in a nonpartisan manner. Second, we have recommended to the governor's office that the governor appoint an ombudsman and a chief ethics officer for the governor's office. The ombudsman would be a senior statesman of unquestioned integrity and independence to report directly to the governor and to issue periodic reports to the public as both a resource, a sounding board, and a place to go for complaints within the governor's office. And we have recommended separately the appointment of a chief ethics officer for the office of the governor to be responsible for ethics enforcement, conflicts, issue resolution, and training. And that person should have a direct reporting relationship both with the chief counsel to the governor, the ombudsman, and an ability to report to the governor as well. Finally, in regard to the Port Authority, which is where this lane realignment was effectuated, we recommend the appointment of a bi-state commission to examine ways in which to fundamentally restructure and reform the Port Authority to ensure its independence and professionalism. This incident exemplifies that there are times within the Port Authority where the rivalries between New York and New Jersey have led to communication failures and other problematic issues. A bi-state commission appointed by both governors can look at ways to help improve the operations of the Port Authority, to make it truly independent and professional to serve the needs of both states. In the first instance, a commission will hopefully look at these types of issues. First, whether it's appropriate to restructure so that there are New Jersey and New York divisions, functions, projects, principally in one state or the other, that will be run by each of those states so that those states will be truly accountable for the projects applicable to each state. Second, to look at ways to restructure the appointments process at the Port Authority to encourage independence and professionalism. Terms of years, staggered terms that will exceed the lengths of terms of governors, and joint appointments by both governors to...
Okay, we've had a few minutes here to process what Randy Master is reporting in his 345-page report commissioned by Governor Chris Christie.
And now I would be pleased to take questions. Right.
Yes, first of all, I mean, someone looking at this, they would say, well, Governor Christie's lawyer, the fact that you have found that he did nothing wrong here is suspect because this is what you're supposed to do, work for him. And they would doubt these findings.
Sure, sure. The premise of the question is wrong, David, because the premise of the question is that our law firm works for an individual. Our law firm was retained by the office of the governor. We were retained by a public office, and we have an obligation to that public office. And whatever the facts were that we found, our obligation, and it was publicly stated, was to report those findings back to that office. And that office announced publicly, long before we reached any point of rendering findings or knowing what our findings would be, that those findings would be put out to the public. And David, had we found evidence to the contrary of what we found, we would have been reporting that, and of course, in facilitating our cooperation with investigators. We found, David, what we found was that Governor Christie had no involvement in the decision to close these lanes and no prior knowledge of it, not a shred of evidence of it. And we're obligated to report that back. That is our public responsibility, both as lawyers and to a public office.
Randy,
yes, Andrea.
Did you interview witnesses under oath, and did you interview Chairman Sampson? And what did Chairman Sampson know, and when did he know?
Okay. Our interviews.
What did Chairman Sampson know, and when did he know?
Our interviews were not under oath, just as initial interviews that other investigations are doing are typically not under oath. Chairman Sampson had denied any prior knowledge of the lane closure incident and prior statements he had made, so we had the benefit of that, but we did not have the opportunity to interview him. Yes.
Most residents of New Jersey are probably today realizing that this cost $1 million gagging on their breakfast. What does $1 million buy of an investigation?
Well, first of all, I have no idea what the cost of this has been, but I will say that to do an investigation like this and to have to facilitate cooperation with other investigations that have issued sweeping overbroad subpoenas is a costly proposition. It's a costly proposition for the governor's office, for the legislative committees, for those individuals who are involved. But let me also say this. It's a search for the truth, and we believe we have gotten to the truth, or we would not be reporting it. It serves no one's interest, no one's interest, certainly not my or my law firm's interest, certainly not the governor's office's interest, or the constituency it serves, the people of New Jersey, for us to have done anything other than to try to get to the truth here and to address it. Because, ladies and gentlemen, there are other investigations that will make findings after we are done.
We've been listening to live coverage of the news conference to unveil Governor Christie's Bridgegate report. This is the report by his hand-picked legal team, funded by the taxpayers of New Jersey, headed by former Giuliani deputy mayor and now the lead investigator for the governor, appointed by the governor, Randy Mastro, who we were hearing talking. I'm Brian Lehrer with New Jersey Public Radio, managing editor Nancy Solomon. Now, listeners, we're continuing our live coverage on our website. If you want to watch a video stream of that news conference, you can go to WNYC.org right now and see it. We're going to wrap up the Brian Lehrer Show here on the radio and bring you the Leonard Lopate Show, as usual. Nancy, this really did sound like the governor's lawyer speaking. He concluded on the question of how close did this come to Governor Christie, that the governor had no prior knowledge of the lane closures or involvement in the implementation of it. That was his language. Interesting to me, he did not say that the governor did not know it was going on while it was going on, which is something that the governor has denied and something that David Wildstein has said that the governor did know while it was going on. Randy Mastro did not seem to deny at least that fact.
Right. David Wildstein has said evidence exists that the governor knew that the traffic lane closures were happening at the time during that week in September. I thought it was very interesting that he said he made a point of saying that he did not meet Governor Christie until the day he was retained, because there has been a lot of questions about, you know, what exactly is he doing? And this team of attorneys that have been working on this report, many of them are former U.S. attorneys from Governor Christie's time as the U.S. attorney in Newark. One of them is a very close personal friend that he went on vacation with. So this idea that I am an outside person who was hired to come in for the people of New Jersey to look at this is still really questionable.
The Mastro report also concluded that the lane closures were political payback against the mayor of Fort Lee, but not necessarily because that mayor did not endorse Christie for re-election. So that opens another whole can of worms. This concludes our coverage of that news conference on the radio. Of course, analysis on our newscast coming up and throughout the day. And again, you can watch or listen to the rest of that news conference live right now at WNYC.org. I'm Brian Lehrer.